Good morning. Welcome to the Lighthouse this morning. Our pastors are not here this morning, as well as several other adults and kids who are at youth camp this week. Please be in prayer for those services. Tonight is our monthly prayer service at 6 p.m. Everyone is encouraged to come pray together. Sunday, August 4th, we will have a baptism at the creek right after morning worship. If you are interested in getting baptized, please sign up at the welcome desk. Family camp will be August 5th through the 9th in Warsaw, Ohio. Everyone is welcome to attend. There will be a spa day for women and kickball game for men and children at camp on Tuesday, August 6th, starting at 1:30 p.m. If you can only come one day, that Tuesday would be a great choice. Man camp is August 8th through 10th, open to men and boys of all ages. See the flyer at the front door or our church website for more info. The Tri-State Women Retreat will be September 5th through the 7th in Lafayette, Indiana. The special rate for hotels is only good through August 5th, so book your room ASAP. Or you can plan to stay on the campground. They are also hosting a vendor fair if anyone would like to bring a product to sell. More information and registration info can be found on our website. Oh, at our welcome desk, sorry. Now Trisha Triano is coming for our call to worship.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, call to worship. So for today, the Lord has given me Psalms again. In this, it's Psalm 34, and it's interesting because this psalm is when David pretended to be mad. So, you know, crazy, a little crazy. I'm just going to read this, and then I'm going to explain what the Lord gave me. So I bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I'm going to jump down to 7, where it reads, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you saints. You're the saints. There is no want to those who fear him.
Amen.
So as I was ministering with the Lord on this, he gave me a picture of a magnifying glass. And I was like, Lord, what are you showing me here? And he said, anything you put under a magnifying glass is large, gets bigger. So he is saying to you today to magnify him. Magnify him in the sense that you are exalting him. He must increase so that we can decrease. It doesn't have anything to do with us decreasing. It has everything to do with him increasing. And then also he said, do you remember how in the scripture, how Paul and Silas were worshiping? Mm-hmm. And they were worshiping and the Lord heard him,
Yeah.
And the earth quaked, right? Mm-hmm. And their chains, and they were just praising him. So today, church, saints, we're going to go back to saints, speak out the name of Jesus. Call upon the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Our God is a God of sound. When you worship the Lord, worship him with your sound. Mm-hmm. You are the only one that can create the sound that comes out of your own mouth. Exalt him over your problem. What is it that you are magnifying in your life today? What have you given place to that is so big instead of the name of Jesus? Yes. So come on, church, lift up the name Hallelujah. Of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's call on the name of Jesus. Come on, I want to hear you, Jesus. Out of your mouth, Jesus. Come on, he's going to do something here today. Jesus. Go ahead and stand, and we're going to pray over the offering. And you can give either in the baskets, you can give online, the ways are up on the screen. So, Father, we come to you today, Lord. We exalt you in this place, God. We know that you supply all our need through your riches and glory. Father, thank you for your goodness, for your faithfulness, for your kindness. And Lord, we call on your name, Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you worship with us this morning? Oh, we give you praise, Lord Jesus. We exalt your name. We exalt your name. Oh, come on, church. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our praise. How many things has God done for you? Hallelujah. You pulled me out of the dark, Lord. You freed me from depression. Hallelujah. 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 You healed my body when I was sick. Hallelujah. You made a way where there wasn't any way. Hallelujah. 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 As you worship, come on and bring your offering this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of you, God has done good things? How many of you, he's made a way where there wasn't any way? I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. He's got an answer for you today. If you're burdened down this morning, call on the name of Jesus. There isn't a name like his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all its stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. Who can wipe away the tears of broken dreams and wasted years and tell the past to disappear? Let me tell you about my and all the wrong things that you would. go and undo if you could. Who can work it out for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
Oh, he makes a way.
Makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave.
Let me hear you sing it.
Let me tell you about my Jesus, and let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah, 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 amen, amen,
hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah.
Would take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilt. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, let's sing it.
He makes a way.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus, and let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah, 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 amen, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah.
You, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, la, 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 my Savior, okay, sure, la, my soul. Hallelujah.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. Mighty to save forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. Give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender.
the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Oh, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see.
Been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am made, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. Darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
This morning, before I want to ask Abby to sing verse number 2 again. But I would like you this morning as a way of worship. And I usually say if you feel comfortable, as I share with Brother Ryan this morning. But sometimes we need to do what makes us a little uncomfortable. Because sometimes when we are in a dark place, the first thing we have to do is take one step in a right direction. And almost always, I should say always, God does the rest after that. So this morning, if you've heard his voice in the middle of the night, when the enemy said to you, nothing is going to work out the way you want it to, you're going to lose your house, you're going to lose your car, this relationship that you struggle with is never going to be the same, you're sick and you're never going to get better, and in the middle of the night, you hear the voice of the Lord say, every little thing is gonna be okay. I got you. I got you. Would you with me come forward? If God has done that in your life as a way of testimony this morning, as a way of saying, yeah, that's happened to me. Because you know what you do when you come forward? You tell others, these people have had a hard time. How many of you have gone through tough places? How many of you, as a way of just sharing this morning, how many of you are in a rough place right now? Are you in a rough place right now? You don't have to be ashamed of it. So we're going to sing it again. And if you feel like that there's somebody here in this front that you need to go pray with, then you let the Holy Spirit lead you this morning. And let's just remember what God has done in our lives. And when we remember, it builds our faith to understand and know he's still doing good things. Amen? He's still doing good things. Hallelujah. Abby, sing that second verse.
Darkest night, you are close like no other. Known you as a father.
We remember what you've done.
Known you as a friend.
We know you're going to continue.
And
to
I
do.
Have lived in the goodness.
Sing that second verse again. Sing it with us.
I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. Darkest night, you were close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God.
All my life,
all my life, you have been faithful.
Goodness of God. Your goodness. good.
Every breath that I am in, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. This is my story. This is
my song.
Praising my
Savior all the
day. You've been good to us, Lord. Us out of depression, you can do it again. We remember, Lord, when you healed our bodies, you can do it again. We remember, Lord, how we were fretful and afraid and anxious, and you came and you gave us strength and ability and clarity in the name of Jesus. You can do it again. We remember what you've done. This is our story. Yes, in the name of Jesus, we speak against any sickness in this building in the name of Jesus. We speak against anxiety in the name of Jesus. We remember, Lord, who you are. We exalt you in this place, for you are bigger than my problem, bigger than my fear. Yes, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a I'm not a pauper. I'm not a poor relative. I'm an heir. Purchase of God. Born of his Spirit. Washed in his blood.
Oh, Aren't you glad our God is a God of absolutes? Amen. You know, the song says, all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. But then the next verse says, with every breath that I am able. You see, the song doesn't say with every breath. It says with every breath that I am able. You see, there's a difference between the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of man. He has been faithful all my life. Even when I didn't see it, he was faithful. Even when I didn't feel it, he was still faithful. But I'm called to praise him with every breath that I'm able. Amen. Aren't you glad we got a merciful God who understands the nature of me? The Bible says he won't put anything on me more than I can handle, but it doesn't stop there. It says without showing me a way forward, without giving me a way of escape, without getting me through it. See, he knows that there's plenty of things that I can't handle. He knows there's plenty of things that can be put on me that I can't handle. But with him, there's a way through it. Because he's faithful. All the time. All the days of my life. Amen. Says he'll never leave me or forsake me. Never. It doesn't say he'll be faithful sometimes. It doesn't say he'll probably not leave me. See, God's a God of absolutes. When he says it, he'll do it. Amen. So let's be thankful for that this morning, that our God does what he says and says what he does. Amen. Amen. You know, we're so blessed with our worship team. This is what it's all about, church, that we come in here and we praise and worship. The anointing just fills this place every time we're here. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So this morning we'll dismiss our youngsters for their classes that they'll be poured into this morning. I know we have some folks that are out of the area today, but how many are you thankful that we have capable people to serve the Lord in all capacities, even when we're missing a few people? Amen. And I think that's such an obvious part of the body of Christ that sometimes we overlook. I think that sometimes we feel like somebody will do it. You're right. Somebody will do it. But you just look at the group of believers that are heading back there to do it, and that's encouraging to me. Amen. So I don't feel like I have a real long message for today, but I find it interesting that we've sung a lot about faith this morning. We've talked a lot about faith and the goodness of God. And I had a thought on my heart this week as I was praying about what I was supposed to speak on. And it kind of came down to walking by sight. No, walking by faith. And I don't know if you can see it, but there's a line through the word sight up there. So if you're sitting from a distance, it's got a cross or an X through sight. And that's what I felt real strongly that we were going to talk about this morning is walking by faith. And God took me to the Gospel of John in chapter 20. If you have your Bibles, you can go there.
the age of electronics. I remember when you had to wait for everybody to get their Bibles and flip their pages, and now we have it so readily available to us. Isn't that a blessing? But the Gospel of John in chapter 20 has a unique story of the other Gospels. Obviously, the Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels for a reason. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 24, has a unique version that the other three Gospels don't have. And this is a story that brought us the character Doubting Thomas. Has anybody ever heard of Doubting Thomas? Anybody heard of him? Has anybody ever in here ever got a nickname that you didn't deserve? Yeah, we've had one. You don't want to know him, Brother Don says. I suppose all of us have been called something that we didn't deserve before. And I want to talk a little bit today about Thomas. Now, the Bible doesn't call him Doubting Thomas, just to be clear. That's what we call him. That's what the church calls him. That's what I learned him as when I was growing up. That's what he was called, Doubting Thomas. And I thought before we start, I thought it was interesting we don't talk about Doubting Peter or Doubting John or Doubting Andrew, right? It's just Doubting Thomas. And that really stuck out to me this week as I was reading that there would be a story in Scripture in one of the Gospels that would leave a negative connotation about a man. In my opinion, one that he didn't deserve. So I want to read this account for you, and then we'll talk a little bit more about why I feel that way. Beginning in verse 24, it says, "But Thomas, called Twin, one of the 12," and I read from the CSB, if you're following along, "one of the 12 was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were telling him, 'We've seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'If I don't see the mark of the nails in his hands, put my finger into the mark of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will never believe.' A week later," some translations say 8 days later, "his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Don't be faithless, but believe.' Thomas responded to him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus said, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe.'" If you bow your heads with me, we'll pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to reason in your word together, Lord. We ask that you just bless this service this morning, bless this anointed word out of your anointed word, Lord. We just thank you. We ask that you just open the minds and the hearts and the ears of those in attendance this morning, Lord, and speak to them through your word, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'll give Thomas some credit. Because the first thing I want to point out to you is Thomas wasn't a wishy-washy Christian. He comes straight out and said, "I don't believe. I will not believe it unless I get to put my fingers in his hands and my hand in his side. That's boldness. So I give Thomas credit for that right out of the gate. But a little backstory, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the story, this is after Jesus had been crucified. He had resurrected, and the apostles were all gathered together waiting. Kind of just waiting. Jesus had said, wait. So they were just waiting. The Bible says in certain translations that they were fearful of the Jews, so they were up in this upper room with the doors all locked, probably had the blinds pulled down, the TV turned down. No, I'm just kidding. But they were waiting, but they were also being very, very careful because they weren't sure what was going to happen next. Jesus had just left them. So Jesus had come to appear to them three times over the next 40 days. The account we just talked about was the second time. And as our scripture said, the first time Jesus came, Thomas was not with them. Now it says in the Bible that Jesus had appeared to them three times over the next 40 days. And there again, you have to kind of read different gospels to get the whole story. And I'm not going to go into all that. But it says he was ministering to them and teaching them over the course of this 40 days. And I started to wonder, is Thomas out getting groceries? Is Thomas fishing? Where's Thomas at this first time that Jesus appears? Because it says that Thomas wasn't with them the first time. And I thought that was unusual because these guys, it says they were scared, they were hiding, they were fearful of the Jews, they didn't know what was going on. But this time, Thomas was there. So I want to point out that Thomas isn't the only one to doubt. But Thomas is the only one that we call Doubting Thomas. You see, Thomas had walked with Jesus as long as all the other apostles did. He had seen all the signs and the miracles and the wonders. He had all the teaching. He had been there with Jesus through thick and thin, just like all the apostles, other apostles did. But for some reason, Thomas said, I will not believe. So leading right up to this story in Luke 24, and I don't have these on the screen, these are just examples, but in Luke 24, at the empty tomb, it says that the women came running back to report that the tomb was empty. And it says the apostles actually said that sounded like nonsense to them. They didn't believe. In Mark 16, it says that when the women come back and said, Jesus is alive, it says they didn't believe her. In Mark 16, 12, it says, Jesus also appeared to two other disciples as they were walking to a town coming from the Gospel of Luke. I think that's the road to Emmaus, but it doesn't say that in Mark. It just says that these two men reported back to the other disciples, and it says they didn't believe them. I've heard people say they didn't believe them just because it was the ladies. And ladies didn't have much credibility back then. But this account says that there was two other men walking that Jesus showed himself to, and they went back and told them they didn't believe them either. So I don't think it was just the ladies. I think it's bigger than that. In Mark 16, it says that Jesus appeared to the other 11 themselves while they were reclining at the table. And it says Jesus rebuked them for their unbelief and their hardness of hearts because they didn't believe when others said, we've seen the Lord Jesus. And in Matthew 28, it says that while they were on the mountain where Jesus directed them, they saw him and they worshiped him, but it says some of them doubted. But we call Thomas Doubting Thomas. So the first thing I want to say is faith. I'm going to give you the definition of faith. It is a strong belief in God or in the doctrines of a religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. Spiritual apprehension. Hope. Now I want to give you the definition of doubt. A general feeling of uncertainty, worry, or concern. A feeling of uncertainty about the truth, reality, or the nature of something. See, I don't believe that doubt is the opposite of faith. I believe doubt is part of faith. I believe that we will have certain levels of doubt because we have faith in something. That's what I believe. I believe that our doubt can hinder our belief, but I don't believe that it means we don't believe. I believe it means that we're examining something closely, that it matters to us, that it's important to us, that we're just not believing every single aspect of everything ever said, but we care enough to examine it. And I believe the world would call that doubt, because we're not just believing every single word. So why has Thomas got such a bad reputation as doubting Thomas? Because Thomas proves to us in Scripture, along with the rest of the guys that didn't get nicknames, but Thomas, I believe, shows us in Scripture that believing without seeing is hard. I believe he also shows us that seeing and then believing, pretty easy. Right? Anybody can do that. If I told you Brother Jesse Bianchi was sitting in that chair over there, how many people looked? Come on. Did anybody look? You did? What'd you look for, brother? You don't believe me? If I told you that all the cows had come across that field and they were all standing at the fence outside, wow, you guys are good. Nobody looked. That was good. But do you understand what I'm saying? I've been playing this game with people at work. I have a buddy that I work with who's a Christian man, and I've been playing this game with him all week, and I keep saying things to him. And I noticed that his immediate reaction is to look. And then so now it got to the point, he's not as quick as you guys. Later in the week, he started going, ah, I looked. But I thought, how interesting is that in our regular lives that we need to see things? Does that mean we don't believe them? No. I would argue that most of you believed me that Jesse was sitting there. You'd probably already shook his hand today. He sits there every Sunday. So you can have confidence that Brother Jesse's going to be sitting there. But our natural reaction was to look. So I don't think Thomas is that much different than we are. And I think that's why we have doubting Thomas in the Bible. I think that's why the Gospels tell us of all these other examples of people that had a hard time believing. Because I think when we examine ourselves and our nature, I think if we were honest with ourselves, we would also understand that we ourselves have a hard time believing sometimes without seeing. Now, believing, I'm going to say that word a lot today, but believing without seeing is faith. It says a strong belief or the apprehension of things without proof. So that took me to the obvious scripture that everybody knows. And I'll be honest with you, this is a scripture that sometimes used to confuse me, because I didn't really understand what it meant. And I really prayed hard about that this week and asked God to give me my own revelation of it. Okay, you may have some other revelation about what this means to you, but it's found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. The King James says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I read out of the CSB and it says that faith is the reality of things hoped for and the proof of what is not seen. Now those are pretty close, aren't they? I think those are pretty close translations. But what I was focusing on in that scripture this week is our reality. It says faith is our reality of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. And I've never understood how that was possible. Because our reality is that we're sitting in our church today in our seats, right? Our reality might be that our car wouldn't start this morning. Our reality might be that we're not looking forward to going to work tomorrow because we know it's going to be a hard day at the office. But that's not what we're hoping for, is it? That's the reality of the world. The Bible says the reality of things hoped for. I don't live in a reality of hoping my car starts. I don't live in the reality of hoping that I have a good day at work tomorrow. I live in the reality of being saved and bought by the blood of Jesus Christ for the redemption of my sins and the salvation of my soul. That's my reality. That's the hope that I live in. And that's the reality that the Bible says we can live in the hope of Jesus Christ. It says the evidence, faith is the evidence of things not seen. And I thought, what does that mean? How can there be evidence of something that's not seen? How can my reality be something that I'm not sitting in right now? Well, the answer is my reality is what I'm hoping for in Christ, and my evidence is my faith. That is all the evidence that I need, is my faith in Jesus Christ. That's why faith needs to be your evidence, because you will not go out and find something in this world that's going to satisfy the proof that you need other than your faith. So if you're looking for something other than your faith, you're going to be disappointed. It's the changing of our hearts. It's not something that you can physically walk up and hand somebody and say, this is why I'm a Christian. This is why I believe what I believe. Because it's a spiritual change in your heart that we experience. It's an infilling of our soul with Jesus Christ. And I started looking into these men, and I don't believe they had much faith yet. Ooh, the apostles didn't have... No, I don't think they did. I can find more spots in Scripture where Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, or oh, where's your faith, or why are you doubting, or what are you doing, or how many times do I got to put up with you guys, and when are you going to start listening to me, right? That doesn't mean they didn't believe in Jesus. They were walking with him. They were sitting at the table eating with him. They were watching him heal people. But they didn't have faith and apprehension of something that they couldn't prove because they were seeing, and it was easy to believe. Are you hearing where I'm going with this morning? They were with Jesus. If you sat next to Jesse, you would not have to have a whole lot of faith to believe he exists. You wouldn't need to have a whole lot of faith or apprehension or hope that he was sitting there. So I started looking into these men and I thought, these poor guys, they had it easy until they didn't. They had it so easy because they got to walk with Jesus. Now, you know that's not true. Life wasn't easy for them. But in this aspect, what I'm saying is they got to see Jesus. They got to walk with Jesus. They got to talk with Jesus. They probably hugged Jesus. They probably kissed necks and prayed together and cried together and... These men needed to believe. They needed to understand. But I believe all they could do was try to believe. I would say they had more trust in Jesus at this point than they did faith. I believe they trusted Jesus, don't you? I mean, lots of them gave up things and dropped everything in their lives without even really knowing him. Most of them, maybe the first time they ever seen the guy, they'd heard about him, and all of a sudden he walks up and says, you, come on, let's go. And they did. So I believe they trusted Jesus, but they didn't have any spiritual perception. They had no idea. They didn't understand because it was right there. There was no way that they needed to use any spiritual perception. What a great word over there, brother. He's preaching it for me. Amen. But that's exactly what they were lacking. And I believe they were lacking it not because they weren't capable of it, but because they didn't understand it. They didn't know how to use it. And I'll be quite honest with you, they didn't need to. He was with them. And I believe that is why Jesus spent 40 days after his resurrection popping in and out, teaching them, showing them stuff. And I believe that's why Thomas wasn't there the first time, so we could understand that seeing can't be anymore. It can't be anymore, guys. This is where it's changing. Things are changing now because you're not going to be able to see me much longer. So I got to get you guys ready because you got a whole world to proclaim the gospel to. So I can't leave you in this state of seeing as believing. And I believe that is why we have the example of who we call Doubting Thomas. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." You know, I thought it was interesting that we all know that's true. We all understand that we have to have spiritual perception. We all have to have spiritual understanding. We all have to have spiritual growth. But imagine if it went from physical to spiritual, just like that. And that's what happened with these men. So Jesus spent 40 days preparing them. I also thought it was interesting that 40 days equate. There's a lot of 40-day stories in Scripture, isn't there? But I thought it was interesting that Thomas, I want you to put yourself in Thomas's shoes for a minute. He heard everything Jesus said. We have to believe that Thomas knew the Scriptures, he knew the prophecies, he knew all the teachings and the writings that are announcing what Jesus is going to do. He heard Jesus say, "It's me. I'm that. Right here, if you read it, that's about me." And I thought it was interesting that Thomas took this so serious. Hear me now, because I think this is true. This isn't in the Bible, but I believe this is true. Thomas took this so serious. He knew what Jesus' resurrection meant, because Jesus told him. He didn't have any spiritual perception about it, but he knew what this meant. So when Thomas came in after Jesus was there the first time, before Jesus arrived the second time, he walked in the room and his 10 closest buddies, Judas wasn't there, remember? So there would have been 10 of his closest friends. And they said, "Dude," I'm paraphrasing, it's not in the Bible, "Dude, you missed it. Where were you, man? Jesus was here." Thomas is like, "Shut up. What are you saying? No, whatever, man." Now, I would have just believed. Right? Come on, church. Come on, Christians. I would have just said, "Oh, okay, guys, thanks for making sure. I knew he was coming. Yeah, I'm glad he was here." No, Thomas is like, "No, man, no, this is too big. I'm not taking your word for it. He better come back and show me." Now, I'm going to cut Thomas a little slack here if you haven't been able to tell. Jesus thought Thomas needed to see too. What? Whoa! But we're not supposed to walk by sight. We're supposed to walk by faith. Where's Thomas? I'm telling you, Thomas was being trained up so that he could proclaim the gospel to the world and teach them to walk by faith and not by sight. Thomas was necessary to see so that he could believe, so that he could profess the name of Jesus and profess the resurrection. Because Jesus wasn't going to leave just 10 of them. So I give Thomas a little bit of slack. Even Jesus thought he needed to see it, and we decided to call him Doubting Thomas. I just thought that was funny. So moving down to the bottom of the Scripture. I love Jesus' response to Thomas. And this is another thing. I hope these Scriptures stir your hearts like they do mine to think and to pause and just meditate on the word, because that's why we're supposed to be reading these scriptures. But Jesus says, okay, Thomas, now you've seen me, so now you're going to believe, right? And Jesus says, but those who believe without seeing are blessed. You know, he's talking about us. He surely wasn't talking about the other 10 guys in the room. So who else was he talking about? He wasn't talking about Thomas. So I believe he was talking about us, church. He was talking about the people that the gospel was going to be proclaimed to after Jesus' fulfillment of time here. So I was wondering, does that make us better because we believe without seeing? Does that change our standing in the kingdom because we believe without seeing? Of course not. But I believe that we need to believe. That's hard to say when you talk about believing, you keep saying, I believe that we believe that you believe. That we have to have faith to believe what they saw. He was preparing them for what was about to happen in 10 days. I think that's a number that's pretty standard, that after he showed up with them the third time, 10 days later, we end up in the book of Acts and Pentecost. And that was the game changer, right? That was the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That was when Jesus was finally saying, you're ready, I'm giving you everything you need, and I'm rolling. Amen? So I started thinking about believing without seeing. And it kind of got us right back to where some of the things we already heard this morning. Has anyone in here ever had a real life experience with God? Did you know that you know that you know that it was God? Do you feel like it strengthened your faith because you had an experience with God? Because he showed up? Come on. Maybe that is true. That's a good, yeah, maybe's probably the right answer. Did it convince you that he was real? We got a couple people that say absolutely. Or is your faith all the evidence that you need? Because all those things that we experience as Christians should build our faith. It should strengthen our faith. It should give us less doubt and not more faith, stronger faith. But the Bible says that our faith is our evidence. That, my friends, is the part about being a Christian that's not so easy. When somebody prays for somebody to be healed and they don't get healed, is your faith enough evidence to still believe that he's a healer? When somebody prays for a blind eye to be opened, or a deaf ear to hear, and it doesn't happen, is your faith enough evidence for you to believe that he's still a healer? When you're praying for God to just step in and do something, my reality's not what I want it to be right now, Lord. I need you now. And he doesn't step in as fast as you wanted him to. Is your faith still enough evidence to believe that he intercedes for you? That's what we're talking about. Our faith being all the evidence that we need. You know, I didn't put this scripture in there, but there's a scripture where they're asking Jesus for more signs. What's he say to those people? He says, "You evil and adulterous generation." Because they wanted to see. Now, it wasn't because he didn't want them to see signs. It's because that's all they wanted to see. They didn't want to have any spiritual perception. They didn't want to believe in anything. They wanted to see the show. How many times had he already healed people? They just said, "Well, do it again. Do it again. Do it again." If I give you money, the one guy said, "If I give you some money, can you give me that? I want to do it too." That's how ridiculous some of these people were. But do you just believe? The Gospel of Mark in chapter 5 says, when Jesus overheard what was said, he told the synagogue leader, "Don't be afraid, only believe." I thought that was another cool story. Kind of goes along with, if you've heard the story, this is where the woman with the issue of blood, and then the other guy comes, is a synagogue leader whose daughter was, I think, 12 years old. And he says, "Lord, my daughter," and his buddies, if you remember the story, I think his buddies are like, "Hey, leave him alone, she's dead. Done, don't worry, just forget it, quit bugging him." Jesus said, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And his daughter was healed. What do you think that synagogue leader thought? He couldn't see. He was here, she was there. All he had was his memory of what she looked like when he left last time, probably. When he said, "I got to go find this Jesus and just see if there's any possible way he can do anything." The centurion who sent his guard and said, "My servant's sick. I'm not worthy to bring in. But please, Lord, if you're willing, help." And Jesus said, "Your faith is healed." He couldn't see, but he believed. And there's so many examples in Scripture. But I thought myself, I wonder if this guy here not seeing was a help to this guy, probably, because he wasn't there. Because had he been there looking at the condition of his daughter, he'd have had a hard time believing, probably. He separated himself from what he could see. And his hope in the one they called Jesus, this one that I hear about, his hope got him to Jesus. And his faith healed her. So I want to focus on that today, church. And if you don't get anything out of this today other than that, I want you to walk out of here today saying that my faith is the only evidence I need. That's the point of what we're talking about today. And I don't want you to confuse this with blind faith, as people call sometimes blind faith. I don't think that's faith at all. I don't think that exists. Blind faith, in my opinion, is just hoping for something. I mean, blind faith would insinuate that you know nothing about it, nobody's given you any reason to believe it, you just feel like, all right, I'll believe whatever you say, that's fine. But I believe that we believe the same things. I believe we have faith because we believe that he was born of a virgin, that he became man, that he walked this earth, that he suffered, died, and was buried, and that he was resurrected on the third day. And the reality of our hope that we live in each and every day is that he will come again for the living and the dead. That's the reality of our hope. That is the reason we believe. That is the reason we have faith, because of the apprehension of something that we hope for with evidence as faith, because we have no physical proof here on this world, so we have an apprehension of it. And that builds our faith stronger. That increases our desire to serve him because of our apprehension of his coming, the reality of a born-again, saved Christian. That's what we have a reality of. And we must live and walk in that reality with faith as the only evidence we need. We don't need science to prove something to us. We don't need the guy on TV to explain it to us. We just need to believe what we believe. We need to believe what he's already done. We need to believe what he's doing today, and we need to surely believe what he's about to do as a church. And I believe that our faith must be all the evidence we need, or you're going to struggle. Doesn't mean you don't believe, but you're going to struggle. And the less evidence you have, come on now, you can write this down. If your faith is all the evidence you need, the less evidence you have, the less likely you are to believe. That makes a lot of sense to me. Like, that just makes sense. And that's why the Bible calls our faith our evidence, because it's meant to be our evidence. It's meant to be what we need. You know, why would Jesus, or why would the Word of God, or why would the Apostle Paul focus on that? Why would that be such a big deal? Does anybody in here know what they battled, what Jesus and what God's biggest struggle with his people were? I'll give you a hint. It was idolatry. Oh, Lord, thank you, little lamp, right? Everything they did, they had to feel it, they had to touch it, they had to see it, they had to be able to hold it in their hand. That's the difference. We don't talk to statues. Come on. Now, I'm not saying it's bad to have a picture of Jesus on the wall. I'll make everybody freak out. I don't even think it's bad if Jesus is on the cross. I've heard people go, oh, you can't have a cross with Jesus on it because he's not on it. It's a remembrance, and I'm okay with us having things to remember. But we don't worship a figurine. And that's why our faith
needs to be the only evidence you need. Because if you can't believe in Jesus without your cross necklace, that's the battle that was going on spiritually in those biblical days. So that's why it's important for us to remember that faith must be the only evidence we need. Everything else can be part of our faith. It can be part of our walk. It can be part of our expression. If you got the Ten Commandments in a school or the Last Supper picture hanging in your kitchen, I don't care. That's okay. But that's not where our faith comes from. And that's why this scripture is so important, that faith is the evidence of things not seen. So have a reality of hope. Have a life where faith is your evidence. And you won't need anything else. It's tough to believe in something you don't see. But we work towards that each and every day. In Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, it says, "Now in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. Because who hopes for what he sees? Now if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience." And I think that scripture lines up directly with the definition that I found for faith. The spiritual apprehension of something that we can't prove because we can't see it. We need a reality of hope and an evidence of faith to walk the Christian walk, church. If they would come back to the music, is somebody going to play the piano this morning? Carmen's here. Yeah, if she could come back up. Like I said, I don't know, maybe it felt longer than it was, but I just want to leave you with a few things this morning. First thing I want to tell you is it's okay if you have some doubt. That's okay. I believe it's part of our normal nature that you're going to doubt some things. Why didn't God do this for me? Why didn't God do this for me? That's normal. That doesn't make you a bad person. That doesn't mean you don't believe in Jesus. Watch for our younger kids, because I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of us older people, you've been battling some of these doubts longer than they have. So they're going to need encouragement. Because the world's going to throw a lot of doubt at us. And just by its very own nature, sometimes the world would make you wonder what's going on. And what's an unbeliever's first thing is, if your God was so loving, why would he let that happen? That's what they always say. They try to get you to doubt. Even the devil tried to get Jesus to doubt in the wilderness. "If you're the Son of God," he said, "if you truly are the Son of God." But here's what I would like to do this morning. And I think this lines up. I don't know if you guys heard, but we're having a prayer service tonight at 6 o'clock. That's for our church, not just our prayer team. That's for our church. So I want to close our service this morning, obviously. If you need to come down here, if you feel like you need to come down and pray, you come to these altars and pray. But I want to finish up this morning with a couple scriptures that I think as a church that we need to be praying about. Is that okay?
And if you want to come down, you come down. If you want to sit in your seat, you sit in your seat. If you want to come back tonight, come back tonight. But I think this is what we need to do. I felt this real strongly this morning. We need to pray for those who have doubt. We need to pray for clarity. Because when we walk by faith, and faith is our evidence, we're going to pray. When we have doubt, we're going to pray. When we pray, God hears us. And when God hears you praying about doubt, He will surely give you stronger evidence. He'll help you with your doubt. He'll help those who you pray for about doubt. And I believe as a church, we need to be praying for each other about doubt. And we would think that that doesn't sound very biblical to have doubt, but I think we've seen today that that's biblical. And praying for those who have doubt. The book of Jude, I'd be funny and say chapter 1, but beginning in verse 20, it says, "But you, dear friends, as you build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting expectantly for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. And have mercy on those who waver." That's having doubt. Have mercy for those who waver. Pray for those. Love them. Encourage them. Because doubt's a normal part of our life. And I can promise you, every man, woman, and child in this building today has something that they've got just a glimmer of doubt about. So we can pray for those. And the next thing is, having hope as our reality is something that the enemy, he will try every tactic he can to take that away from you. Do you realize that the enemy of our souls doesn't want us to walk in the reality of the hope of Jesus Christ? Well, if you didn't know that, that's true. He doesn't want you to have that reality. He doesn't want you to have that as your dwelling place. He wants to create doubt. But I got good news for you. He can't have your reality unless you give it to him. He can't have it. He can try to take it. He can try to steal it. But he can't have it unless you give it to him. So I want you to pray for those who are struggling today with sin. I want you to pray and encourage them not to give up their reality in Christ and not to give up their faith as evidence of that reality. And I want their faith to be their evidence beyond the shadow of a doubt. Even that saying there is testimony that there are doubts. But beyond that shadow of that doubt, we want our faith to be strong and all the evidence we need. The book of Hebrews chapter 3 says, "Watch out, brothers and sisters, so that there won't be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage each other daily while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. For we have become participants in Christ if we hold firmly until the end the reality that we had at the start." And I think those are things that as a church that we need to pray for, that we need to believe in, and that we need to take out of here today close to our hearts for our brothers and sisters. If you'd bow your heads with me, we'll pray as we dismiss. Lord, we lift up our brothers and sisters right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you would be their evidence beyond a shadow of a doubt. Lord, that you would be their reality. Not the things around us, not the things around that are part of this world, Lord. But that we would know that the world is hopeless and in need of a Savior. And that our reality would be walking with you daily. Lord, we pray for those right now who are struggling with sin. Lord, that sin would subside, that they would repent and turn back to you, Lord, and walk with you, Lord, to allow you to be once again their reality, to build up again in your holy faith, Lord, as evidence of your love and your mercy. Lord, we just pray for all those today, Lord, that are suffering or struggling or just having a little doubt that they want to be gone. We just lift all these things up to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. I thank you and I bless you. And I hope to see each and every one of you tonight at 6 o'clock for our prayer service. Amen.